Hey everyone, welcome to the Troy Christian High School Chapel Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our Chapel YouTube channel and follow our Chapel Instagram account. Those two places will be the easiest way to check out what's coming up, as well as find some bonus content from our speakers and worship team. Most importantly, I hope the following message challenges and encourages you to grow in your relationship with God as you learn to love God and love others better. Enjoy.
We are starting a new series with this first chapel of the semester called Intentional Community. To keep it simple and clear, I'm going to start by sharing what I think it means for us to be intentional about our faith, and then we'll talk about what does that mean for us when it comes to community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We recognize your goodness. We recognize your lordship, that you are king of both the heavens and the earth. We open ourselves up to you. We submit ourselves to your leadership, to your guidance. May you direct us. I pray that during this time, as these words are shared and we're in your presence together, that you will guide and lead us in the way you want us to go. We trust you. This time is not mine, it's yours. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Consider these words from Jesus, Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide and easy is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow and hard is the path that leads to life. What is Jesus talking about? I believe that it is a mistake to assume that he's only talking about the afterlife. You see, when we hear this verse in a context like this, it's easy to think a path that leads to life and a path that leads to destruction. He must be talking about a path that leads to hell and a path that leads to heaven. However, whenever the Bible uses the phrase life, oftentimes it's talking about an experience of life that can be had here and now. You see, following Jesus is meant to be a lively, life-giving experience. To follow Jesus is to live life at its absolute fullest. I want to share with you my absolute favorite verse. It's not every message that I get to share my absolute favorite verse, but here we go. It's Romans 8, verse 11. And it says this, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his spirit that dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to you. He will give life to you in your body. And maybe you're thinking, Doug, God's given me life. I'm sitting here breathing, listening to you, and quite frankly, it's not as exciting as you make it sound. But don't we all know that there's a difference between being alive and experiencing life? Don't we all know there's a difference between just having a heartbeat and breath in your lungs and existing and experience a lively life of love and joy and passion and goodness? This verse in Romans says that God will give us life, that following Jesus is meant to be a life-giving experience. Well, what is this life like? What is this livelihood that comes from following Jesus? What is it like? We actually have an amazing description of it that you're probably very familiar with. It's what we know as the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says this, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. So often I have been told to go and do the fruit of the Spirit. Go and experience love. Go and be joyful. Go and be peaceful. And if I wasn't doing those things, I was told I was sinning. But I don't think that's right. Because if you look at that sentence again, the fruit of the Spirit, it is not worded like a command. It's worded like a description. It's just saying, it's not saying go and do these things, saying the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and et cetera. And so what that means is that when we start to follow Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit starts to just grow within us. You can't command fruit to grow. You just put it in the right condition and growth starts happening. In the same way, when we start following Jesus, love just starts growing within you. Joy just starts growing within you. Peace just starts growing within you. And that is the life, the lively livelihood that should result from following Jesus. Following Jesus is meant to be a lively, life-giving experience. A life of love, a life of joy, a life of peace and goodness and hope. But if we were brutally honest, I think a lot of us in here would say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus is God. I believe the Bible. But I don't think I'm experiencing the life that you're talking about. You might be a Christian, but that doesn't mean that you're experiencing the lively livelihood that should result from following Jesus. How could that be? How could we as Christians not experience life? Let me remind you what Jesus said. Enter through the narrow gate. For broad and easy is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow and hard is the path that leads to life. Imagine you're walking a trail, you know, in the middle of, you know, the woods or a nature preserve or a park. And I don't know about you, those trails oftentimes are pretty narrow. You're not going to take that trail while you're on autopilot, default mode, having no intention of, you're just randomly walking around. You're not going to be like, oh, I'm just going to just take an aimless walk. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, I took this very narrow, intricate, like, trail. No, to take a narrow road takes a lot of intention. And it says, enter through the narrow gate, for narrow and hard is the path that leads to life. Another way of putting it is this. The path that leads to life is the path filled with intention. The path that leads to life is the path filled with intention. Leave it up long enough for them to write that one down. The path that leads to life is the path that leads is filled with intention. Just like you're not going to take a narrow path on accident or without trying or without having purpose in every single step, you are not going to experience the lively livelihood that God has in store for you on accident or on default mode. Have you ever asked yourself why you're not LeBron James? Like, why aren't you a 4-time champion, multiple-time NBA MVP and All-Star? Like, what's your excuse for not accomplishing all that? Well, before you it might seem obvious, but let's consider some things for a second. LeBron has a very strict routine and schedule. He wakes up at 5 a.m. every day, and he has gone at length to actually talk about, if you look up online, he's talked at length about how he believes in the extreme health benefits of sleep. And so even though he wakes up at 5 a.m. every day, he gets at least 8 to 9 hours of sleep the night before. However, that's not all the sleep he gets. He typically gets 12 hours of sleep a day, meaning in the midst of all his activity, he's also adding naps because he's convinced of the health benefits of sleep. Also, every day for LeBron is one of three activities. He is either going to a basketball practice, going to a basketball game, or participating in a strength and workout conditioning program. And even when he's not doing one of those three things, he's often spending his off time doing yoga and using a VersaClimber and doing sprints on a football field. And he also has a very strict diet. He doesn't eat fried foods very often. He doesn't eat or drink artificial sugars very often. LeBron's life is filled with intentional actions, intentional choices, intentional decisions. LeBron has taken a narrow road, and it is a hard, difficult path, but it has led him to becoming who he is. He did not become a champion or an all-star or an MVP on accident. He took a path filled with intention. In the exact same way, we do not experience the lively livelihood that God has in store for us by just going through the motions. We do not experience the lively livelihood that God wants us to experience without taking a narrow, hard road filled with intention. But that narrow, hard road filled with intention, I promise you, it leads to life. It's worth it. Let me remind you, this series is called Intentional Community. Intentional Community. So far, I have shared with you what it means to be intentional. Now, I want to ask, what does being intentional have to do with us experiencing Christian community? How do we enter through the narrow gate and take the path that leads to life? One way is by experiencing community. One way of taking this narrow road, there's many ways of taking it, but one of the main ways we experience the life that God wants us to experience is by experiencing community. And when I say community, I don't just mean any random type of community. I'm talking about having people who know you, like really know you, your good parts and your bad parts. And they still accept you, they still support you, that when something goes wrong, they're there for you, and that they also want to see you thrive. They want to see you at your best, and not just at your best in life, but at your best in your faith. They push you and lead you to being closer to Jesus. Now, in the same way that there's a difference between being alive and experiencing life, there is a difference between being dead and experiencing death, right? You can be alive, but have small experiences of death. And one of the ways in which we experience death, even while we're alive, is by being out of touch with community. We experience a little bit of death when we're lonely. We experience a little bit of death when we have no one to support us in problems. We experience a little bit of death when we put ourselves out there and are vulnerable and we're rejected and made fun of. We experience a little bit of death when the community we trust harms us. Yet the flip side is also true. God uses community to give us an experience of life. We experience a little bit of life when we have someone supporting us. We experience a little bit of life when someone encourages us. We experience a little bit of life when someone includes us. We experience a little bit of life when our friends become like family. We experience a little bit of life when we're open and vulnerable with others and they embrace us and love us anyway. Remember, narrow and hard is the path that leads to life. And the path that leads to life is a path filled with intention. Because community is such a life-giving thing, that means the path that leads to life requires a lot of intention. And so it takes a lot of intention to experience community. Narrow and hard is the path that leads to life, and community is a life-giving thing. And so thus, it is takes a lot of intention, a lot of purpose to experience community. I want to share with you one of my absolute favorite stories from the life of Jesus. It's Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. It says, while he was still speaking to the crowds, he being Jesus, his mother and his brothers were standing outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus pointed to his disciples and said, this is my family. To Jesus, the disciples were not just a random group of guys he happened to go to the same church as. To Jesus, the disciples were not just a random group of guys he happened to go to the same Christian school as. To Jesus, the disciples were his experience of life-giving, family-like community. To Jesus, the disciples were his experience of family-like, life-giving community. But here is what I believe. In the same way that LeBron James did not become LeBron James on accident or overnight, Jesus' disciples did not become a life-giving, family-like experience of community on accident or overnight. Jesus and his disciples were very intentional about becoming a family-like, life-giving experience of community. You see, Jesus and his disciples, they were committed to loving others. And they were also committed to spending time together. And when you combine those two things, the result is that over time, that community became a family-like community. That community became a life-giving community. You see, Jesus and his disciples, it's believed that they lived together, that they ate together, that they worked together, they traveled together. And when you combine the commitment of we're going to love one another with that amount of time spent together, the result is a life-giving, family-like community. The disciples and Jesus were intentional about loving one another. They were intentional about spending time together. They were intentional about how they spent their time together. They were intentional about the kind of conversations that they had, that they would become life-giving conversations. And I think for us, sometimes we assume that one day we're just gonna wake up, and without any effort or any intention, we think we'll be a part of a family-like, life-giving Christian community and that we belong to, and it'll happen. It'll just magically happen to us. But the truth is that we do not experience the family-like, life-giving experience of community that God has in store for us on accident or on just default mode or without any intention at all. The path that leads to life is narrow and hard, and that path that leads to life-giving community requires a lot of intention. So we must begin to ask ourselves, what does it look like for me to be intentional about experiencing community? We must ask ourselves, what does it look like for me to bring a lot of purpose and a lot of intention so that I might experience the life that God has in store for me? Let's pray together as I close. Heavenly Father, we just, we create space for you right now. We open ourselves up to your guidance, to your direction, to your voice. Help us to take away what you want us to take away from this time together. I pray that you will move throughout this place. Speak to each person. Speak to each heart. I pray that you turn down the volume on all our distractions and all our anxieties so that we can have this moment and this time in your presence to sense your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray.